Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official PodNuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 250. Today, Josh joins us from SuperiorTex.net. And that's SuperiorTeks.net. That's his computer repair business. He runs it with his father down in Texas. You might know him from, him and his dad, Rudy, have been on a couple great tech debates. How are you doing today, Josh?
Oh, doing just fine. Trying to keep my head above water on the work that we got going on at the shop.
You know, I always said when I was like swarmed with business that there's worse problems to have, right? Is that how you feel?
Oh, yes. I love these kind of problems, actually. It makes the day go by a lot faster than just sitting by and waiting, hoping those ads work. So,
Why don't we just jump in? Why don't you tell us what's going on? Why are you guys so busy?
I'd like to say it's because of our superior services, but we're doing a lot of advertising through our local papers here, English papers and a local Spanish paper. Even did some radio ads, but actually those the radio ads and this and the one Spanish ad that we do actually didn't work at all. We sank maybe $300-$400 into those, and still hadn't panned out. The stuff that's panning out is the Google AdWords right now, and the local newspaper. English, and word of mouth. Once we are doing the jobs for the first customer, we get such good reviews that they often refer a lot us a lot to their family and friends. So that is a good thing. That's a good thing.
How long have you guys? How many years have you guys been in business? Has it been a year yet?
No, it hasn't even been a year yet. It's only been since December of last year, so it's only been about 7 months.
That's great. So, that's great that you guys are busy and kicking out that much word of mouth. Do you guys have a shop, or are you doing mobile tech?
Oh, no. No, we have a shop.
Good.
The only thing that sucks about having our location is it's in an office park.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard to find for some customers.
Right.
We're like nestled in and behind some trees, and we're not easily located, so that's why I put on the website picture by picture on coming from the road to our office, our building upside the stairs, and just to make it a little bit more easier for customers to find us.
Where on the site is that? Contact us?
It should be under contact us.
Whoa. Hang on. Just your music started playing on the site. Okay, there we are. There
oh,
we go.
I'm sorry.
I went to contact us and I got blasted with elevator music.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I thought that would be a good touch to elevator music, but...
Well, you know, so this is interesting then. So you guys aren't even getting walk-in traffic. I mean, like, nobody walks past your shop and comes in because of that, right? It's all because you guys... Well, that's good then, because I mean, when I had my shop, I wanted to put it in a location where people would just see it and come in, and I did that, and that worked. But the fact that you're getting business from a shop that's in the corner there, that means you're doing other advertising really well.
Yes, the word of mouth and the local English newspaper is doing really well for us right now, which is really good. Before that, we've... combined, Dad did it before I did, for about 10, 11 years, ever since, I may have been 12, I don't know. He's been doing that long. And then slowly just started getting me into it, showing me things here and there.
Was he doing it as a business?
No, he's doing it because he didn't want to pay the Geek Squad other
right.
other people to do his computer repairs. He did it just to do it in his natural curiosity to see, okay, what does this do and what does that do?
So whose idea was it to start the business?
It's always been something that he wanted to do, And as I started growing up and doing a little bit more with him, realized that it's probably something feasible for both of us to do. I just got my certificates for CompTIA and another ETA International for a computer service technician certificate. After we got that we kind of felt that that'd make us a little bit more legitimate, a little bit more have a little bit more of an edge over some shops that don't have any.
Right.
So we started to kick up the paperwork and such to open up our own shop. It's something that he always wanted to do, so he can have something to do when he retires.
Right.
Things like that. So
is it turning out that he's doing more work now than before he retired, or did he retire yet?
Oh no. He still has his full time job.
Right.
And he helps us out at night and on the weekends. That's really when he has time to do it. So he comes in at night, comes sometimes early in the morning, and bridges the gap.
Now, why did you pick this location?
Rent.
Cheap rent?
Yeah, cheap rent. And we have, it's actually two offices. So one, and they're adjoining. So the one in the front we use as the lobby area. And then the one in the back, of course, our shop, have wood floors, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, it looks really nice, actually. I love the couch as the waiting room. That's a great...
Oh, actually, we moved that.
It's not even there anymore?
No, it's in the back, and the intern that we have working with us, he loves it. Great steady couch for him to do his little tests that he's trying to work on and get some hands-on experience as well.
Hands-on experience on a couch?
Oh, well, no, not on the couch. I'm sorry. No, for a steady couch. But he's here for hands-on experience.
Right,
and
right. No. I was going to say, man, your intern seems like he's kind of it's lazy. Likes to sleep on the couch the whole time.
No.
That's cool.
No, but it's been working out really well. I'm glad Dad got me into it.
Well, tell me about your AdWords. How did you start using AdWords? How did you figure out the best way to set it up? And you know, who did that?
I remember asking you that question maybe a couple months ago to suggest how to set it up. But the only thing I'm doing right now is using just a few keywords, not much, maybe about 20 words,
okay.
Virus removal, laptop repair, you know, something generic for us, and only doing it within a 35-mile radius
right.
of our zip code. Surprisingly, I've actually never really turned it off. So I know that's bad, but... I keep it on.
Why is that bad?
Well, yeah, it's probably not bad. Because some people will click on you, realize you're not open yet, and then wait to call on you later, and you may be not there or something like that. So
no, I think what you're doing is right. I would definitely leave it on because but make sure when somebody does call, they get a voicemail. You know, this way they could. You know, say in your voicemail, you know, we're not here yet, but definitely state your problem. We'll call you as soon as we can or something like that. Have you been doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, definitely keep it on. You don't want to turn anybody away.
No. Well, yeah. Nobody away at all. It's funny that you're talking about difficult customers. I think it was you and Steve D'Amico.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks ago, and this past 2 weeks, I've had a couple of difficult customers just asking a lot of questions, getting out, making sure that we weren't going to charge them because I haven't posted and advertised that we're not going to charge them for diagnostics and stuff like that. I'd say it's more of the older people that do that, though. More of the older people give you a harder time than the younger crowd.
Yeah. Well, what do you do to handle it?
I try to explain to them what we're doing and that they won't be, you know, charged extra. Making sure I'm completely honest with them and try to never pull a fast one on anybody.
Right.
Because I wouldn't want that to be done on me. I just got to be honest. Now, I know our prices are like really, really, really low compared to, I think, even what your shop was before. All we're doing is a $50 flat rate fee for any fix except for a laptop hardware repair, which we charge $85.
Wow, so, how do you guys survive?
It's we're doing quantity.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. But what do your competitors charge?
Actually, some of them are starting to match some of our prices now.
You mean they've come down?
Yeah, they've come down.
Oh, so, they hate you guys.
Yeah, they probably do. They probably do. Eventually, we're gonna put the flat rate fee for any fix except for the laptop hardware repair up to match the 85. We're just doing the 50 right now just to get us introduced to a lot of people right now, to open kind of like the floodgates right now.
Yeah.
And win them over with our services now, and then, you know, start to slowly get the prices up.
Yeah, good. You know, it took me like 2 years in the shop before I even had the thought of raising my prices. And I don't know, I guess that's just, you know, if it's working for you, do it. I mean, some people might say that's too low, you could charge way more, this and that. But you know what? If you're getting floods of people in and your numbers of customers keep going up and up and up, your word of mouth is cranking, you're doing something right. You know what I mean? And you're making enough, apparently, to survive, and I guess you're happy with it, right? You're happy with how much you're making?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then raise it as you need to, or as you feel the need, yeah. And then I would just go from there. It sounds like you're doing great. How much do you guys pay per click on your AdWords? What did you set your click limit at?
Actually, I did it to auto bid, so I know that's bad, but I set it to auto bid. So
you know what auto bid is? I mean, well, how much? I'll say it afterwards. But how much are you paying then, average per click?
Maybe $250.
Okay, that's not crazy. Now, what you're doing with auto click? Here's what you're doing with auto click. You're handing your credit card to Google. And you're going, look, just put on it as much as you want. That's what you're doing. I mean, I guess you do set a daily budget, but they're going to try to make you number one in the list. And they're probably going to try to put, like, spend as much as that takes, right? Do you come up number one in the list in your area?
Between one and three.
One and three. Okay.
One and three, which is, the top one. It's on the top of the list right there in the front. And right. It's not even on the sidebar. But hey, I only fill it up $20 at a time, $25 at a time, actually.
Oh, so you have it like after it runs out, the ad stops, and you got to recharge it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so I got a good beat on that one.
Yeah, it's good to be smart about that.
Yeah.
You know, in the tech site builder kit, well, they changed, Google actually changed a lot, but in the tech site builder, I talk about AdWords, and I recommend setting a really high budget, because it used to be that Google, if your budget was high, like I say, set the budget to $1,000 per day, because it used to be that Google, if you set a low budget, they just wouldn't show your ad as much because they wanted to stay within your budget limits. But the only way to make them show your ad all the time is to set a really high budget. So today they're doing it kind of different. They're saying, like, you know, you could turn your, you could set your ad so that it will show it as much as possible till you run out of money, or we'll show it interspersed through the day so you meet your budget like perfectly. And there's more ways. They're a little more flexible now, but that was when Google AdWords was like 5 cents and you could get a good placement with 5 cents a click back in the day.
But you can't, I bet you can't do that anymore.
No, it's virtually impossible. But those were the fun days. I didn't do it. Computer repair probably was always high, but as far as advertising other websites, AdWords was fun. Now it's kind of tough, but it's still real workable for computer repair.
Yeah, and actually I got duped into Yellow Book.
Well put.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got duped into Yellow Book, but we're paying the first month right now. The book that we're going to be in is not going to come out until next year. And he kind of duped me into it because he says he's going to post this on Yellow Book's
website
online. Yeah. For a year for free or whatever.
Right.
That's what kind of was the selling point, but I was like, might as well. It's not going to be until next year. We're going to pay for it ahead of time, something like that. So, yeah, might as well do it right now because we're not in any phone book or anything right now. It'll be good for us, I think.
Well, let us know how it goes. I mean, some people have done really well with the phone book. I did terrible. And they, you know, anytime somebody tells me to fax them something, I immediately go, okay, what did I just do? Because in my mind, faxing is dead. And if that's the technology level they're at now, I lose respect instantly for that, whatever that is. And not only did they say, oh, you have to fax this. She sent, when I signed up with the Yellow Book, she emailed me something that she must have scanned or something, which was horrible, like a terrible, terrible scan. You could hardly read anything on it. I had to write my credit card number on that thing and fax it back to them. So I did that, faxed it back. She charged me twice. And then I was like, really, like, okay, this is just wrong. And then the ad was great. I'll tell you what, the ad was a good placed ad, and it was great for the first day. The first day the book came out, we had two people come in, and I don't think I could count on one hand the amount of people that came in the next year from the ad. So,
off of that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, off of that ad. From that ad. So,
you're making me enjoy my choice.
No. I didn't do the online thing, first of all, so you got that. And then people... they thought, of course, when the Yellow Book people think the online thing is the greatest, they're on the internet and they think that that's just beautiful and everybody's going to flock to them. But like, I have not used the online service, so I don't know how good it is. And then, also, Josh, people have called in the show saying, don't knock Yellow Book. It's what I use. It works great. So, it just depends on your location and your placement and stuff like that. There's factors that go into it. Yeah.
I'm hoping it works out because, I think they got us for maybe 500
a month,
but no. Ooh,
oh,
ooh.
I was paying $222 a month. $222 a month for my ad.
Ooh, well, never mind.
Yeah. 500 for a year? Nope. Is that what you're paying?
Yeah, just for 1 year.
No, you're good.
Just 1 year.
That's
okay. Well, then.
You're good.
Ooh,
yeah.
That would have made me feel horrible.
Yeah, I'm feeling it all like over again. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. What else did you bring us? I know you were eager to get on the call today. You couldn't stop you from trying to get on the call early, I remember, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yes, sir. Well, I just got involved with TechNet. I can't remember if it was, yeah, y'all mentioned it once, but TechNet also said that they're doing a discount again on their subscriptions. I just did it on Monday. And there's like a 7-business-day waiting period now for the subscription, even though that you pay it right then and there. I guess they're getting a lot of fraudulent people doing it nowadays.
Wait a minute. But, so you order online, and it's all downloadable, but there's a 7-day waiting period?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you? How does that make sense?
I don't know. I called them the day that I got the confirmation, and they said, okay, here's your confirmation number. Here's your benefits number. Just enter in your name, your email address, and your benefit number, and your subscription is active. And I did that for like an hour. I was like, well, dang it, I might be tripping this somehow. It might be locked up. So let me just call them. I called them and said the reason why couldn't get in is because there's now a five to six day business day I don't know, processing or authorization period, whatever, for all new subscriptions, because they've been getting a lot of fraudulent people applying for it.
Hmm.
So, I mean, getting that big old discount, then that would make sense.
But where did you get the discount?
It was through TechNet itself. I believe it's regularly $3.99.
Okay.
And it was advertised for $1.99.
So just on TechNet's site, like if I go to TechNet right now.
Yeah, and do a TechNet subscription.
Okay.
Or subscriber, whatever. There's a discount going on right now for it.
Okay. Let's
see. And I remember, I forgot the guy's name that mentioned it on this show.
We've got TechNet. A lot of people have talked about that. It seems like a really good thing to do.
It is. It is. I want to try that home server.
Huh.
I really want to try the home server.
So it's $199. You can't beat that. It's great.
You can't. And then they said you lock it in for $149 renewal.
Oh, yeah. That's almost a necessity at this point as a technician.
Yes. Yes. And since everything is flowing right now, even better, it was like, why not? Why not? Go ahead and do it.
Now, yeah, I mean, definitely. Now, have we determined whether you can use the TechNet subscription? If you could burn ISOs, like operating system ISOs, and use the customer's code off the side of the machine to activate them, have we determined that yet?
From my beliefs, yes. Now, are you talking about the OEMs?
Yeah. I guess it would. I don't know. Yeah, the OEM sticker, I guess. Whatever's on the side of the machine, I guess that's an OEM sticker. Like if somebody bought a Windows machine, their whole operating system crapped out, they don't have the recovery disks, can you use an ISO that you burn from TechNet and activate with the code on their side of their machines?
Well, I have not had the privilege on doing that yet.
Okay.
With all my copies that I have, I've been able to do things like that, except for one laptop that I have in at the shop right now. It's only because it has, it's 64-bit, which I don't have a CD for it. I actually messaged Timster to see if he had a copy, but he didn't. It's a 64-bit Vista, and it's streamlined with, it includes the Service Pack 1.
Right.
So not only did I have to find a 64-bit Vista, I have to, right now I'm slipstreaming it with the V-Lite with Service Pack 1, and hopefully that does the trick.
Why don't you use Service Pack 2?
Because it's the key that's on the laptop says for Service Pack 1.
I see.
So in order to activate that certain product key, it has to be Vista 64-bit Service Pack 1.
I see.
So it has to have all that stuff, and I'm like, wonderful. I didn't want to order the recovery discs, which it's an HP laptop, so the recovery disc is $25, I believe, to go there.
Right.
And might as well just, make it yourself and do it. And hey, this is a customized disc for your computer.
So how did you get the ISO? It's funny how you drug Timster into this. Poor Timster.
No. I used his that program he suggested to check the hash.
You're right.
And I went through a torrent program and checked the hash. It matched, so it was a good copy. So I burned it. Found out it has to be Service Pack 1 also. So as we're speaking, I'm actually slipstreaming it just so I can use that key.
Good. Is this when you decided that you were going to buy TechNet after you ran into this trouble?
Yeah. I was like, man, it might as well be worth it. Things like this. Because all I'm using is the ISO to have the CD so I can use the CD to reinstall the operating system on the customer's computer.
Right.
It'd be a lot easier than doing what I'm doing right now,
right.
Which, people, you have to make do what you have.
Yeah. I started a little collection of my ISOs and just use them as I needed. No, like yeah. I said, and people listening to this maybe for the first time or whatever, it's never do we recommend, you know, using pirated versions of software. See, the thing with operating systems is the person has a license already. It came with the computer. So I find it okay to just take an ISO of an operating system, install it on their machine, and then activate it with the code on the side of their computer if it's the same version. Because they paid for that license. You're just installing the operating system with whatever means possible. You have to do it. So if you have to do it, you have to do it. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, I nowhere in TechNet, that I've found, or even in the description, does it say, this is great to use for ISOs, to make ISOs to reinstall systems on your customer's computer that can't find the recovery disk. It says, let's see what it says. It says, tailored to help IP professionals evaluate, test, and troubleshoot Microsoft software for desktop environments. That's the description of TechNet. So I guess you're troubleshooting software on desktop environments. That's what you're doing with it.
Yeah, making sure it works. That's all I'm doing.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me.
Oh, man.
All right, what else?
Let's see. Well, the only thing I've been doing a little bit differently since I've been listening to podcasts, otherwise trying to use a little bit more of my instinct, is introducing a Trojan Remover into our infection removal
regimen.
Yeah, regimen or routine.
Right.
Because what I have on my, I'll call them work orders, is, of course, the customer's filling their name, checking in, all that other stuff. We write the cellular number and everything like that, just so we have that on file, and write that information down on a, let's call it a logbook, just so if any of them have done anything, if it's like a hot item, things like that,
right,
that's something that we can present to any official documentation that, right, okay, they checked this in this time. I got that from a place that I interned at briefly, just because they recommend that, because if any other official comes to you and wants proof of what work that you've done before, it's nice to provide them, to help them out and keep you a little bit clean.
Sure.
From responsibility on that stuff. But on the back of the work orders, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. On the back of the work orders, I have like a checklist of what to do, backup files, remove internet connection, you know, do this A to Z. It helps out a lot with the intern that we have here to have a checklist. Of course, I told him it's not always going to be like this, like the case that we had with that hard drive that was wrong and our tools didn't catch it.
Right.
But, you know, just have a little generic thing to check down with. But anyway, we added Trojan Remover to that, little checklist that we got, along with, I believe Door to Door got, it's like 5 or 6 antivirus, bootable antivirus programs.
Yeah, I don't remember the name. Sardu, that's it. Yep.
Sardu, yeah. I love that.
Really?
If it looks like any sort of infection, that's the first thing I pop in just to scan it over.
That's a bootable CD, right? You don't even have to go. You don't have to boot into the OS. That's great.
Yeah, just scan it from the outside, see what you can catch, and then start to go on the inside. Actually, I had a computer today. It looked like an infection because it wouldn't boot to the OS. It would just crash and reboot, and all I ended up being was one of the sticks of RAM went out. I had like 8,000 errors on Memtest.
Okay. What made you decide to run that? Why did you think it was the RAM?
Well,
instinct.
I wish. I wish. I wish. I wish. No. As soon as I could not get into safe mode, I tried to use a emergency repair disc for Vista, and it wouldn't come up all the way. Like it'd get gummed up and freeze. Okay. And I was like, well, that's not even booting off the hard drive or anything like that. So that's why I put in UBCD and just did the mem test to see if the memory was working fine. And it was the second slot that had 8,000 errors. I was like, well, that could be it.
then you used your instinct.
Oh, yeah. That's it right there. Well, and the RAM just corrupted some files on Windows because it still wouldn't boot up. But lovely Vista has that option to do startup repair, and it was cake from there.
You know, I had a laptop that just drove me nuts. It was a small, like 12 or 10 inch Sony Vaio, one of those small ones before netbooks even came out. It was like, so those are ultra mobile PCs. They were expensive, and it was very delicate. And I took it apart for this guy maybe 10 times. I don't know about that much. It felt like it probably was actually. It would work great at the shop. He'd take it home. It would blue screen on him. He'd bring it back. I would turn it on at the shop. I could not get the thing to blue screen. And then every once in a while, I could get it to blue screen. But don't ask me how I did it. It made no sense, completely random. And I was really at a loss. And what it turned out to be was one of the sticks of RAM was bad. Because as the other one was working, everything's fine. As soon as it tried to do like a memory call from one of the sticks, boom, it just blue screened on it. So the problem with those Vios is that one of the sticks of RAM is actually soldered into the motherboard. And I'm not sure if that was the bad one or not. I can't remember. But yeah, RAM is a funny thing. I mean, your computer could be fine. It's because, you know, you're using multiple sticks. It's when it's using the good sticks, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, so, but it usually gives a major crash. It's not like a little like error. It's like it either reboots or blue screens on you.
Yeah. It's very funny on RAM when you just never know. On each thing, you just never know.
Right.
We even had another one. God dang. Yeah, we've had about, I don't know, maybe 8 jobs this week so far.
With bad RAM?
Oh, no, total.
Okay.
Because I'm going from job to job to job that we had, but this other one ended up being CPU overheating because the, I don't know, the clamp that goes over the heatsink, the plastic piece broke off on it.
Yeah, was it a Pentium 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pentium 4 socket 478s have that infamous, what do they call, retention bracket. It goes over the heat, or it goes under the heatsink, and it attaches to the motherboard. And it's just made so silly. It's got those four little notches, and as soon as you give the, as soon as the computer experiences any kind of impact or anything, bam, those are the first things that snap. The thing overheats and then you get blue screen or whatever, or it just powers off. So how did you figure that out? You just open it up and you saw it clear as day, right?
Yeah, I saw it clear as day, and I tried to do some makeshift repairing, but it didn't work. It didn't work at all. So
I'll tell you what to do, Josh. Say when you replace those motherboards, those socket 478 motherboards, pop off that retention bracket and save them. I've done that so many times. I build up a little collection because I've done hack job fixes on them too, and it's just sometimes it's just not worth it.
Yeah. I'm probably going to have to start saving some odd and end parts like that. I'm just trying to get used to transitioning from garage work to full out on computer repair shop work. It's a good transition. It's just I got a lot of things, little bitty things to learn.
Yeah, all that stuff falls into place, and you'll find out what parts you need the most, and you could recycle a lot of stuff actually. CPU fans, case fans, all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, it's worked out, and it's starting to get a good collection. Because if customers want to not keep their computers like the one I was just talking about that it was overheating, and she decided not to fix it,
right?
Because it wasn't worth it for us. So what I'm having them do is if they don't want the computers anymore, I'm actually having them sign a release form, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Being a little smart about it.
Right. It is smart.
It's good to have paperwork to back you up if they want to come back and say, no.
Right.
I don't want to do that. But
I've oftentimes said, look, you don't owe me anything if you want to trade this in because I could use it for parts.
Yeah.
And what I do is I build up a mountain of laptops and broken desktops and all this stuff, and then Steve D would drive down from New York and buy it all. He was my salvage guy.
Oh, he was your junkyard?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find one that I can bring those parts to eventually. Yeah.
Call around. I mean, there's people, especially on Craigslist, I've seen, like, we buy parts. You know, some people, they only want, like, the metal or something, so they won't pay that much. But if you could find an eBay seller like Steve, they love that stuff. They really do. Like, somebody who loves to tinker, fixes computers, and, like, loves to sell parts on eBay and is really into that. Steve's the perfect guy. Texas is a little far for him, but...
Yeah, Texas, probably not. because what I'm wanting to do is even advertise that we take in parts and start to fix them up just like he would. But some of these parts that we're getting are bad parts, bad hard drives, like the cracked pin, some really, really, really old heat sinks that I don't think we're going to be able to use.
Yeah.
Those kind of parts that I want to try to filter out.
Too much junk. I couldn't stand having all the junk there. I had to get rid of it. So
right now it's just in a big old box underneath the table. Right
there you go. Save it all up. Somebody will buy it. It's worth it. It's worth it for somebody. Now. Trust me.
For right now, and I gotta really give you your props or whatever on the laptop repair videos, because before we even got into the shop, I wouldn't even touch laptop hardware repairs, but after seeing just a few clips and seeing how you're doing it, I've gotten really big into those.
Nice.
Laptop repairs.
Nice.
Done a couple of LCD screen repairs, just, you know, pop it out and replace those DC jacks. The cable ones, I haven't had the privilege to do a solder job like y'all are doing. And even if it comes down to that, I actually found a local vendor that is here that will be able to do it for me and charge me maybe $10 to do it.
An electronic shop.
$10? Yeah.
He'll repair a power jack for $10?
Yeah, all I have to do is strip out the board, just present him the board, and he'll do it.
Oh, okay. You have to do all that work. Okay, I got you. Hey,
that makes it worth it.
Oh, no, that makes sense. It makes sense. That's still a great price.
Yeah. So I'm glad I found that guy. So I don't have to delve into that. All I got to do is break it apart for him and send it to him just down the road.
Yeah, so. That's a nice find. Nice find there.
I just happened to do it, but
aren't laptops fun?
They are very fun.
They're so fun. They're not big and dirty and have roaches crawling around in them. You know, they have their little bit of dust. You get that out, and then you have this device that you just have to conquer. And it's not like big and clunky. I love them. It's a great challenge. It's really fun. It keeps the work interesting.
Tell you, I picked up how I do it is. Draw a chart on just a piece of paper, label it 0 or 1, and that's one layer. And then the second set of screws is the third layer, fourth layer of screws, and, you know, just draw where the ribbons go, power cables go. Just do it one layer at a time. And I combined that with I think I saw Timster have an egg crate. To hold the screws. So 0 would be like the back of the lid screws, but most of the newer computers or laptops have those screws stay in the lids. So I just put that on over. Layer one has their screws right there, but then I put it in the crate labeled 1. And then go to the next layer. Okay, all those screws go into crate number two in the egg crate. So to do it section by section. And I found that easiest for me to break into it. And the more I did it, the more and more it was easier as time went by.
Hey, that's great tips. You know, you're really going to love it when you get a model of laptop in enough that you don't need the egg crate anymore. It's going to happen. All you do is take the screws out and you put them in one pile, knowing that you know where every one goes. It will work. It'll happen. Trust me.
Be like you, like on a stud. Just, okay, it's there. And it makes sense. I've seen some of those laptops that do have that M1X, you know, how they're labeled.
Right. Right.
And it makes sense, but I'm still using my method until I can.
I'm not saying get off of your method. I'm just saying in the future, this will happen to you. If you, the more you do, the more, like you say, a laptop stud you will become.
Man, I forgot his name too. God darn it. The guy that was talking about the Mac repairs, I've been getting really hardcore into trying to study Macs.
Nice.
I'm trying to get my hands on that one that I messaged you about Max Pro or Mac Power Max. There we go. PowerMax.com. Order a laptop from there, a MacBook.
I know what I think you should do, John. I mean, of course, buy one and use it for yourself to learn the operating system. But if you want to learn how to fix them, go on Craigslist and just look for broken MacBooks. I'm telling you. I mean, that's how I got mine. And people break those things. And you can learn how to fix them and then sell them off or do whatever. I mean, Craigslist is a great resource for if you want to learn how to repair them. Or just wait for people to walk in with Macs, you know, into your shop there. But as far as you want to use like a new one and learn on for yourself the operating system, right?
Yes, the operating system. Yeah, that's the main purpose I'm going to do because I've been getting a couple calls about them. Even had to do a printer hookup with them, which is not that hard. But I just want to really get into it. It just makes the shop a little bit more solid of a establishment.
Sure.
Being able to do Mac repairs and PC repairs. And even like Timster, I want to go ahead and learn how to fix up those gaming consoles, at least those Xbox. I believe it's on iFixit.com. They have repair manuals, step-by-step instructions for iPods, iPhones.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Even the Xboxes.
Xboxes, yeah. PSPs that people have asked me about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great idea. Yeah, the more the better.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into all that while trying to maintain all of our work that's coming in. So it's really, really exciting time. I'm just trying to keep focused and trying to do more.
Keep doing what you're doing. The way you're doing it is great because you're busy and that's how you learn fast. I mean, just get thrown all this stuff at once and you just got to fix it on the fly.
Thrown to the wolves, eh?
Yeah, hey, it works. It works. What were you going to say?
Oh, even got involved with OnForce, the IT company that dispatches technicians for other companies around your area.
How's that working out?
Doing pretty good. Just getting a couple bids around here, virus removals actually, and one job was actually kind of funny. I called in, I checked in with the buyer and on the site, and then 5 minutes later I checked back out because the site wasn't ready. And it was $65 an hour. So I got paid $65 for that 1 hour for checking in, checking out.
Wow.
That's it. No, it's not going to happen like that always, but that was the easiest $65 I ever made.
Wow, that's a great plug for OnForce. Free money.
Free money from OnForce. No, just kidding. That's been fun. It's kind of easing me into doing business with small businesses. I'm not really like Lalo. I believe he does a lot of server work and networking work for small businesses.
Yeah.
I eventually want to get into that, too. Don't have the experience from it. Going from doing primarily home repairs and things like that, going and trying to ease into that, that's not an easy transition. And trying to get that Network Plus exam too, certification. But you know, have a lot of goals. I just don't know.
I like what you're doing. Hey, learn as much as you can. Really, I mean, you're doing it right. And if OnForce is giving you experience with small businesses, and keep doing it, and then you know what? Then as you build your shop, you get employees to do the stuff you don't feel like doing anymore, and then you just work on the stuff you like, and it'll work out.
If I get Dad in here a little bit more after he retires, then that's even better. His heart is at this shop. But he has to go to work.
Oh, it's a shame.
But the plan from the get go was to have him have this as a retirement thing to do, a hobby, and you know, have a successful business. And he eventually wants to have like a showroom full of laptops and sell products primarily.
Retail.
While me. Retail. He wants to get into retail real bad with computer repair. Computer products. And me, I'm like service. So
right.
I think we'll hit it up as a tag team duo eventually. But right now, I'm just.
That sounds like a killer team.
Yeah, it's working out, and we're gonna do good.
What does he do now? What does Rudy do?
He actually does a. He runs a parts room for a oil drilling company down here in Texas. So he does a lot of inventory.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's why he's so gung ho on having products. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I used to do that too for a printing repair. I don't know why I want to keep on saying repair, but a printing company down here wasn't that fun. But yeah,
inventory is not my favorite thing, but I guess if you're the boss in charge of it, that might be a little different.
It's amazing on how many hats you have to have running a business. And getting it together on the fly. Just got our fax machine. I'm trying to learn how to do the fax machine, which sounds horrible, but,
I feel about faxes.
Oh, what do you feel about faxes? You hate them.
I hate fax machines. I mean, it's old, dead technology. If you want something, tell me to email it to you. I will email you anything you want. I mean, geez, even email is becoming a dead technology. Not for me, but for you know, some of the younger people. But fax machine, that's like saying, can you copy this 8-track tape for me? I want to hear that song. You know, it's like that's what faxes are like to me. But that's just me.
Some people. Just still need it. Like this this other third party IT company that we're doing jobs for, that's how we turn in our work orders.
Through fax?
Through fax, and they pay us by check, which is I love.
Yeah.
But it's slow. With OnForce, they just deposit to your account and there you go. You get the money right on the spot.
OnForce, yeah, that's a good suggestion. People should definitely check that out. Let me know what they think about that. As far as your small business, Matt's coming on next show. Matt Rainey, who's our small business guy, he was on last time. So you'll learn more about that. Sorry to cut you off. What were you saying?
About ADD, I forgot.
You said OnForce, and then you said, I think you were going to mention another type of service like OnForce or something like that.
Yeah, so support space, but I have not got a job from them yet.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a single job from them yet. It's just been OnForce and this other company called ITC Rollouts. I don't think they really advertise too much because I don't even know how they got my number.
Huh.
They just contacted me out of the blue and say, hey, can you do this with the server and such? And I'm like, well, yeah, but how'd you get a hold of me? Yeah. Oh, I just found your number. okay. Well,
hey, it works. You're out there.
Yeah. I got paid.
a company called Service Magic used to bug me on a weekly basis to get me to sign up with them. And somebody talked about them before. Interesting concept, but I never wanted to spend the money on it. So Let me know if you have any experience with that. All right, Justin. Service magic? Yeah, Service Magic.
Okay.
Have you heard of them or no?
No, not at all.
All right, well, let's play, before we end off, we'll play a voicemail. We're going to read some emails here. Now, this is from Timster. This is a I found it rather humorous. Sorry, Timster. This is a story, an anecdote that happened to Timster recently, and he sent us a voicemail on it. Josh, to hear this voicemail, you're going to have to mute your Skype. So hit the little microphone button, and then you're going to have to go to podnuts.com to hear the live feed. That's the only way you can hear it right now till I move and redo everything.
Let me get there. Let's see.
I'm going to play it, and let me see if I can pull it up here. Where is Timster's voicemail? Oh, okay, here it is. All right, I'm going to play it now, Josh. So mute your Skype mic and go to podnuts.com. You'll be able to hear it, and then I'll get back with you as soon as it's done.
Got it.
Here's Timster's voicemail.
Hey, it's Timster. Hey, a while ago I had recommended something called liquid electrical tape for tidying up your solder joints after you're finished soldering, and it works really well. Now, I love this stuff. Prevents it getting shorting out and everything else, you know, touching other metal objects or what have you. A lot better than trying to wrap electrical tape around the little teeny starter joints. But it says here on the bottle, danger, irritant, flammable, may irritate skin, may irritate eyes, contents may catch fire, fumes may catch fire. So yeah, you know, I was real careful with that, you know, I let everything dry really well. Well, apparently, it's really flammable even when it's dry. Trying to put me some shrink tubing on after I put the liquid electrical tape on, and had an open flame. It was like lighting a fuse to a firecracker. I had an open flame in my client's computer case, hissing and sizzling, and I had to put it out with a sock. Don't think I can find nearby with a sock. So, at any rate, no harm, no foul. Just want to let everybody know to be careful about that. If you're using the liquid electrical tape, I would recommend it, but not with an open flame. All right, see, thanks. Bye.
That was Timster's story. Now, Timster says he would recommend it, but not with near an open flame. You know what? I wouldn't recommend it at all. I mean, if you had that experience with it, I would not recommend this thing at all. That sounds dangerous big time. Hey, it's a great idea. Somebody had a great idea with that, but that's just too dangerous. So we were all excited about it. That episode, Tim, you brought it up, Tim, or somebody brought it up. And I think I'm never going to use that now that I heard your story. So too bad, liquid electrical tape, but thank you for the story and for the warning. Josh, you back with us?
Yeah, that. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, am I there?
Yeah, you're here. There we go. You're with us.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds horrible. I'm never going to use that.
It's terrible.
Holy crap.
Oh, man.
Flame of fire.
In a customer's computer.
Oh, that just sink my stomach.
Mm. It's not good. All right, thanks, Timster. That was awesome. I'm glad. Hey, somebody had to go through that experience. And Timster took one for the team on that one.
Right. Props for Timster.
All right, this is an email from Ken. He says, hey, Steve, I ran across this interesting article in the New York Times about how Dell had a capacitor problem and tried to cover it up. Makes you think twice about buying a Dell computer. Enjoy your shows. Keep up the good work. And this is, it's in the New York Times. The title of the article is Suit Over Faulty Computers Highlights Dell's Decline. Now, this they have to be talking, and I actually heard this on an episode on TNT with Tom Merritt today. Actually, he was talking about it. It has to be the Optiplexes that were doing this. I think the GX280s were the main culprit, or that whole series. Those capacitors would just, swell up, explode, and whatever. Now, on TNT, they were talking about it like it's the end of the world, but no, they don't explode and spew liquid all over the place. They kind of pop out at the top, and that's about it. And they give your computer either a blue screen, or they say you have an overheat problem, and your computer, turn it on, and it turns off immediately. That's what that was a symptom with these. And stupid Dell is like replacing all these motherboards with motherboards that have the same faulty capacitors on it. So looks like Dell's getting sued. Yeah, Looks like Dell's getting sued on it. And I would say that it's the start. Well, I don't know. I think Dell's been in a bit of a decline, but I think it's really not good for them. I think that this is going to hurt them pretty bad. It's not good. There's too much competition in the computer market for you to screw up this bad right now. So, yeah, you guys are going to run into them. Anybody who's repairing computers, you're going to hit these GX270s, GX280s, and it's the slimline ones, I think, because they weren't properly heated and the capacitors were just bad. And you open up the top, as soon as you open it up, you'll see next to the processor, like a row of capacitors, all with swollen tops. So you could either replace them or get a new motherboard. In fact, there's eBay sellers that specialize in taking those motherboards, replacing all the caps and reselling them. So that's a cheap way to go.
That place I was telling you that does that DC jack repair, they do the same thing. They replace the capacitors for you right then and there. And it's only $5 a pop for me over here.
Wow, man.
If that's ever an issue.
I would take it to there all the time. I would take these old socket 478 motherboards, and a lot of them have blown caps, by the way, in that time period. I would definitely take them over there instead of replacing the whole motherboard. I mean, those motherboards in most cases are perfectly fine except for those caps. So
Yeah,
interesting. So have you run into computers that have caps problems?
No, not those models. Before I got wind of this electronic shop that does those, I have run across some boards that have blown capacitors. And me, since I really don't do it, replace those myself, I'd suggest the customer to replace the board.
Yeah,
it's the laziest thing to do. But
no, it's smart. Hey, if you can't fix them, it's a smart thing to do. Yeah. This way, if anything else is wrong with the board, at least it gets handled in the same one fell swoop. You know,
it's funny how you said you can't screw up on technology nowadays because there's so much competition. I think I heard something about the iPhone. I don't know if it's true. This iPhone 4G, I think, that has an issue if you have to hold it a certain way in order for it to work while you're on calls.
Right.
What is that about?
Yeah, I think they screwed up. I think they just screwed up on that one. I mean, I don't know the exact mechanics of what's going on, but it's true. It's tested. I didn't want to believe it, but apparently when you hold the phone a certain way, especially for left-handers, your palm covers up too much of the area that needs to get the signal, the antenna, and it's either handled by, I guess, as Steve Jobs said, holding it the right way, or getting
not holding it the right way.
What else do you want him to say? What else could you possibly expect him to say? Steve Jobs, come on.
Oh man, that's bad. That's you know what that is, Steve. That's just rushing the product out there before it is completely ready.
I believe.
That's a horrible. That's horrible business, and it's gonna hurt him because if the new Droid phones or Android phones, I can't remember which one they're called. If their new ones come out half as good and doesn't have any sort of major problem like that, they're gonna slightly win out.
They're gonna slightly win out. See, the thing with Apple is they have a couple screw ups left in the. They have a couple screw-ups left in them before everybody abandons them. They really do.
Yeah.
They've built up their brand so strong, and they have such fanboys and girls that they can afford to screw up. I mean, the reason I use my Mac computers is because every time I deviate from them, I feel like I get in trouble. They work well for me. I don't get blue screens on them. They have not been steered wrong yet, personally. So unless Apple screws up multiple times, that's what it's going to take. So this, I don't think it's going to hurt them as bad as people think. I really don't. That people are going to abandon iPhones for Android phones because of that reason. Not yet. If it happens on every phone afterwards, maybe.
I'm not talking completely. I'm just talking about maybe at least this next year, I don't know if it's true or not. I think they're even offering the fix for an extra charge to get it, buy an adapter that extends the antenna or something. I can't remember what the story says, but
if you buy the bumper case, if you buy that rubber bumper case, it doesn't happen with that.
What is that? I'd probably just give away the adapter. I was like, oh, my, our bad.
No, it's not an adapter. It's a case. It's like, you know how everybody puts their phone in a case?
Yeah.
Apple makes a case for their first time. They're actually making a case for this iPhone. And if you use that case, or probably any case, it doesn't work. I mean, not doesn't work. It doesn't happen. That problem doesn't happen.
See, but, oh man,
they're not going to give away. They're not going to give away the case.
Yeah. It's just the hope of utopia. If everything was right, if everything was just, then maybe. Look at me. I'm talking. I don't even have an iPhone.
That's all right. You have a valid opinion there. I'm with you.
I'm hoping to get iPad just so I can do invoices on the fly with those.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, integrated with the QuickBooks. Love it.
Do they already have integration with that?
Yeah, they do. I just, since I don't have it, can't do it yet. I'm trying to convince my dad. It's a business expense.
Totally. That's a great excuse.
Man. And I'm trying to even do that with the Mac, so... that MacBook I want to get on Power Max.
Nice. So. Yeah, I talked about that. Did you listen to that show? We went over Power Max.
No, I hadn't listened. See, I've been so busy. I haven't even listened to any of this past week's show.
No, that's all right. You know, I don't expect everybody to listen to every episode, but I did answer your question, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you did.
Okay. All right, let me read a couple more emails here, and we're going to end off for today. This is from Andrew. He says, I was listening to the latest podcast. I heard someone mention they were looking for a program that would judge computer speed before and after service. I found a neat little script that is a full VBS script. It works on Windows 7, XP, and Vista. Here is the script. If you want it, don't expect you to read it on the show as I posted it in the forums. Okay, yeah, good. That perfect last line, Andrew, because I was wondering how I would relay this. Go into the Podnuts forums if you want this script. I've not tested it yet or run it myself, but there's probably some talk about it in the forums. So just go to the Podnuts forums and I guess type VB script or look for Andrew's posting in there and you'll see it. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that. It's great feedback. All right, this one's from Ron. He says, hey, Steve, I just had an issue the other day where my dad's laptop was stolen. He had only used this laptop to set up modems. He's a cable installer, so there wasn't much personal data on it, if any at all. Luckily, or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, I had a friend that was going through a divorce and selling his year-old laptop for $250 that my dad bought. I have been searching for a free laptop tracking software to put on it, and the only thing I have found is Adeona, which is A-D-E-O-N-A. .cs.washington.edu. Adeona. Okay, so that's all he's found so far. He's saying, just wondering if you or anyone has a recommendation for laptop tracking software, preferably free. Well, I know that I don't think it's free, but I had an Asus laptop that came with LoJack, so I know they make software for that. Can't be free, and I'd imagine it's expensive. But I've not messed with Adeona. Josh, do you know of any free tracking software for laptops?
No, that's the first thing I've heard about that. I'm checking it out right now. I may have to go ahead and do this.
Yeah, actually, Adeona looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It does look pretty good. I want to add it to our laptop that we have as a loaner, just in case one customer has some sticky fingers or something.
Ooh, that would be awesome. Mm. Great test. Frequently asked questions. What alternatives exist? There are numerous commercial services offering proprietary, non-open source device location tracking systems. Most offer little to no privacy guarantees, and the rest forced a user to entrust privacy to the company involved. Hey, Adeona sounds good. Ron, I think you found a good one there, but does anybody in the chat room know of any free ones? Let me know. Ron also posted this in the Podnuts forums, so it's definitely a reason to go in there and check it out and help him out with this problem he's having here. Nope, nothing in the chat room right now. But anybody does know anything, go ahead into the Podnuts forums and check that out. Now, before we end off, I want to make a quick announcement here. Podnuts t-shirts have arrived. I got them in. They are in. I'm getting the hats tomorrow. So if you want a t-shirt, just go to podnuts.com. You'll see the little picture of the t-shirt there. Just click on that, and then you'll be able to buy one. I'm selling them for $15.95. Now, I'm using Priority Mail to ship them, which has cost me about $5 a shirt. So there's a $5 shipping charge. If there's uproar about that, maybe I could use a cheaper shipping service. I guess First Class Mail or something might get it there cheaper. But Priority Mail, I've always had great success with them. It's 2 to 3 days, so you're looking at about $20 for a t-shirt if you want one. Check them out there. I got all the sizes, but the XXLs are going fast, so I only have a few of them. If you need one of them, get it while you can. I got tons of larges, tons of extra larges, and a few mediums left, so check it out. Podnuts t-shirts. Hey, the only thing about the t-shirts is, and I noticed this after I got them home, the T is a little... It should be a little closer to the U in Podnuts, and I can't really complain about it because they sent me the proof logo. I had to approve the logo that they sent me, and it was actually in the approved logo as well. So I have no grounds to complain. But you'll have one of the unique first run, first generation, one gen, one G Podnuts t-shirts. So.
I'm getting one. I'm gonna get one here in a minute.
Sweet. Oh, awesome. Thanks. All right, man.
Selling the hats?
Yeah, the hats are gonna be $20, and they're gonna be on sale probably tomorrow or the next day whenever I get them in and quality check them.
Awesome, so. Awesome. I'm sporting.
Sweet. Thanks for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I'm glad my phone rerouted the call. So I can get on here. I appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. In fact, sign up in the future. Let us know how things are going with you and your shop. Save some stories up. You know, when you run into something you think's interesting, jot it down and tell us about it on the show. That's what people love the most. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this episode of Podnuts Daily. I'll see everybody next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.